Aloha, and welcome to Global Family Live. I'm your host, Kay Snow Davis, and this is live from Kauai. The wonderful, wonderful trade winds are blowing. The grass is shiny green with the sun that's beginning to set. It's glorious. So no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is for you. So relax and take a deep breath. Now breathe in the aliveness of the Aloha Spirit from this sacred land of Kauai. Now let your breath out and release your stress. Take in a big breath and breathe in love. And release your breath in gratitude. Well, how has your week been? This is an amazing time on this planet. Such an amazing time. The main thing that I've been noticing this week, that there's a lot of change that just seems to be coming very quickly, just right out of what we would call left field. And, you know, I grew up in Colorado, and I remember driving home one night, and I turned a corner, and I hit some ice. And literally faster than I could even think, I was spun around and headed the opposite direction. Now, I know we're not on ice, literally the drug as well as that on the pavement. But this is a time where the energy is that dramatic and that fast that it's making such a huge difference. So if you've been feeling that or noticing that or seeing that energy happen around you, this is one of the signs of the change in consciousness when things are moving so quickly that it's different than our time-arranged reality. Remember the Gregorian calendar and this thing we call 24-hour day, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock stuff. We made that up. And it works well. You know, it's a context for measuring movement. And it still is not the authentic rhythm and cycles of this earth or the universe. So we are in a transition time in consciousness where consciousness precedes and predisposes all of the conditions that we have made up. This is called universal consciousness. This is called the unified field that Albert Einstein worked with for most of his remaining years. For about 25, 30 years. So we are, in fact, living in that consciousness now, and our thinking mind is still having to adjust. So sometimes that's part of what creates what we can consider a mental spin, where we can feel a bit dizzy, literally. You can feel physically dizzy with your mind spinning so fast, or your mind spins so fast that it's a little hard to focus or get direction. So those are the times in this spin of energy, movement, and change. Those are the times, go back to your breath. Just give yourself a moment, stand still, don't be pushing yourself. Don't think, oh, you've got to just keep going even if you're spinning. No, you don't. Stop. Now, don't do this on the freeway if you're driving. Don't stop, but for goodness sake, take a breath. remember, remember, remember. Take a breath, take a breath, take a breath. Remember to drink water. These are the things that are going to help your conscious cognitive mind during this time of amazing transition. So please remember to do these things and make it as easy as possible for yourself. Now, I'm very excited to share with you today my special guest, Sitaka Suzanne Franzen, dear friend of mine for about 20-some years. We met in Boulder, Colorado, and we were part of the Starchild family that moved over to Kauai, March 26th of 1989, there were six of us who moved to Kauai together. Now, I want to introduce you to Sitaka and have her give you her bio. She has a very unique and special bio that I know you're going to really get it, who Sitaka is. Sitaka, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Kay. We've just had such a glorious day together, and to get to continue this on the radio where everyone can join us is just very special.
Oh, it is so special. And would you do me a favor and read your bio for our audience so they get to know what an amazing woman you are and how many changes you've been through in this thing called life?
All right. Well, here goes. Short biography. Been there and done that. All the usual suspects come forward. Credentials. Education. I went all the way through the conformity torture system. I came out with four books. How I got here. That's my dad. Mother's side of the story. And cat house wisdom. Experience. Well, three-time wife. Two-time divorcee, no kids, but many loves. Careers, arts. My best attempt has been in clay. A teacher, yes, I did that. In a traditional torture system because I thought I could improve it. Well, guess what? I was in the Peace Corps in Malaysia in 1968 and 69. And then I became a grunt worker. I built a road, I built a house, I sold land, I did accounting, I got through the county, I did all that stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I hit 40. So life begins at 40. I started to break out of the what it is supposed to be according to the accepted authorities and became an explorer in consciousness, developing super awareness abilities. I started with neuro-linguistic programming. I went to Avatar, became a master wizard. Then I met Kay, and things really got moving. She presented me to Disneyland, and Disneyland in her version was, if you don't like what's going on, get a ticket on a different ride. I thought that was great. So I joined her when she said she was going to go to Kauai, and we started the Starchild House there in 1989, and we worked on Eco Village. And then the hurricane came, and that really shook us up. So I went back to Boulder, and then I went to Austin, Texas, and then finally got back to Kauai in 1997. And now I'm in my fifth home in Kalaheo. Well, at 67 years old, finally, I have my to-do list coming up, and I have just a wide open field of possibility. And the theme is just say yes. My current commitment. If I'm not having fun, I'm just going to stop doing it. And this means even if I'm not washing, I'm washing dishes and all of a sudden I'm not enjoying it, stop. And guess what? The world does not come to an end. They're still there the next morning. Most current event in my life, I just came back from a 21-day tour in India at the Oneness University and was trained to give the Oneness blessing. My lifelong quest is, what the hell is going on here anyway? And I'm just going to find out. It takes me many glorious places.
Well, and the part I love so much, Sitak, and I know that you as my listeners can get, this is a woman of courage and creativity. And I really want you to be able to be imbued and enfolded and allow yourself to feel that creativity that lives in you. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff today and a lot of talk about just follow your heart. Now, that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? I mean, those are good words. Just follow your heart. That's kind of like go down the street and turn to the right. Except we know what the street is, and most of the time we know what right is. The right turn, the left turn. Just follow your heart is about as ambiguous as anything can get. And that's what I want Sitaka and I to talk about tonight, what our own experience has been in following our heart and what that brings up. You know, what happens inside of your body? And what does it really mean to follow your heart? Because I can tell you this, each and every one of us has our very own experience of what that means and how that feels. So I would love it, Sitaka, if let's start with any place where you feel that you want to begin with following your heart. And how did you know? How did you know to follow your heart? And give the listeners some ideas from your experience, and then I'll share some of mine, too.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. The first one was that comes to mind is the commitment to come to Kauai in the first place.
Uh-huh.
I had a wonderful situation in Boulder, Colorado. I had a six-bedroom home, a wonderful clay studio, gave workshops, had an office in town. I had a very full and wonderful life. But when I met Kay, and she announced that she was going to Kauai, and she said, anyone who would like to come along is welcome. And my hand just shot up in the air, and I was ready to go. I was like, how can this be to make this huge transition? But it just came in so strongly that the commitment was in alignment with my heart's mission, which was to find out what the hell's going on around here.
Mm-hmm.
And that this was an opportunity that was beyond anything I could hope for to be able to join this mission. So it progressed from there. How it felt in my body was there's nothing else that exists except this. Do it.
Well, and I want you, my listeners, to really know what I felt with this commitment coming from Sitaka, because in my view, literally, her home was a true art gallery. She's such a phenomenal multimedia artist, multimedium artist in so many venues. And her home was a true art gallery and a true sanctuary. And as it turned out, with six of us coming over and moving into a large home, but definitely it was like a matchbox compared to where Sitaka had been living, and sharing two cars with six people, I really felt like Sitaka made the biggest change in life of all of us to leave the lifestyle that she had in Colorado and come to Kauai and have all of us living together. Now, would you tell our listeners what it was like then for you to make that big leap? So your heart said yes, you raised your hand, you just totally honored that and had a huge amount of work to close down your life in Boulder and then come to Kauai, and then would you describe to them how it felt for you to make that huge transition?
Well, it was not easy. Once I got into it and discovered where I had come and what I was doing I felt bereft of everything that I had left. Of course, there was a grieving, there was questioning, and yet there was a glue. There was something that said, but I came here because, and that mission to learn how to live with other people in honor of them without having somebody who was a dictator telling us what to do all the time, and or somebody who's paying all the bills and therefore had the right to tell us what to do, but we were going to be a true group that honored each other's ideas and collectively created a life together. And that was so important to me that it carried me through any of the things that I felt as a result of this extracting myself from my old life.
And I think, too, don't you, Sitaka, that one of the things we really learned, and much of what you're saying, is when we say yes from our heart, we're extending and expanding our life into a condition and a situation that is greater and bigger than we are. So therefore, we don't really know what that's going to be like until we get there.
Exactly. You can't design it ahead of time and expect your desires or your pictures or your feelings or your story that you're telling yourself to be what actually happens when you get there. So you have to have something that is calling you, that is just so important to you that you know that no matter what shows up, you can meet the moment.
Well, and I think you're making a very important point for us, Sitaka. When we decide to listen to our heart as a guiding force for our life choices, then that becomes the primary vote for our future choices. So if we decide to listen to our heart and follow our heart and then ping pong back into our brain and start doubting and judging and blaming, that is torturous. And so what I'm hearing you say is you literally had to keep recommitting to listen to your heart, even though you'd stepped into a lifestyle that was really foreign for you.
Absolutely. After my big, wonderful studio that I had, actually I had two studios, and I came to Kauai and found myself with a paint can with crayons in it.
And one of those folding tables. That
yes,
was her
yes.
art. That was her art room.
So that
felt
like it was a squished expression from what I had before as far as the art went. But the other part of my soul commitment to life had a bigger space. And I just had to realign with that.
And I want to describe a little bit when it became clear that I was returning to Kauai, that was in August of 1985, when I was told very clearly that I was to live and work on the island. And I went back to the mainland, and we were doing our first point of power intensive training at Sitaka Sanctuary. And I think, we had about 15 people?
Yes, yes.
And so we were there for 3 days doing the training, and it was during that time that the Kauai adventure and thought came up. And so when the six people, including myself, were clear that, oh my goodness, we're going as a team, then I rented a house sight unseen that was next door to some of my friends on Kauai. Then we did a meditation and a visualization asking guidance from Spirit, please, you know, what is this about? And we were shown and told that we were going as the Star Child family to practice a new way of living together in family with true respect and true love, what Sitaka has been saying. And, you know, one of the things that we did that I felt helped all of us so much in reframing a condition, anytime we had an issue that came up in our Star Child family, And it caused us distress, which you can know with six people living in a brand new area in a lifestyle that we hadn't done before. We had lots of opportunities. And what we did is, you know, when you have like a 35 millimeter camera and you take pictures with that, you have a negative. But when you print out the negative, it's actually the opposite of what it looked like on the negative. So that's how we reframed our issues in the family, that when anything came in, we said, okay, this is the negative. This is what we're seeing. This is what we recognize. And literally, we would do this in our family meetings. And we would all talk about our feelings, and this is what we're seeing, and this is what we're feeling. And then we would all work together and say, okay, now, what is this really? When we print it out, when we take it into our life experience with this awareness, what is it really? It was one of the most phenomenal experiences of my life to get to participate with our Star Child family and process life at that level so that everybody had a voice, everybody offered their wisdom until we found a way to reframe the condition that was big enough for all of us to live in. It was truly amazing. Did you find it that way also, Sitaka?
Oh, yes. And what I remember of it is we called it a looks as if. This looks as if it's this. And we might have all our horrible stories about it. But then when we found out what it really was, it was always, always a huge gift.
Uh-huh.
And so then when we could see the true printout of it, we were able to align with it and say yes.
Uh-huh.
So that's another way of finding the yes.
It is, and it's so powerful. Now, you know, one thing I would like us to be really clear on here as a team, as the audience and Sitaka and I together, you know, don't have any illusion that if you follow your heart, it's all bliss and joy, and that if it's not bliss and joy, you're not following your heart. Don't even go there,
mm-hmm.
because that's not real. You know, real life and real choices and real commitment has nothing to do whether you like it or you don't or it feels good. There's a part of you, gut-level part of you, that just knows if you're really honest and honor what you feel, you're going to walk through this no matter what. And that is the true respect for your soul. That's the true respect for your heart. That's the true respect for your courage and your strength and your vitality. And I remember how many times as a family we had to call on these parts of ourselves individually and together. Don't you think so?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. But the part that we worked with, and I want to just give you this little tidbit. One of the key things that we learned to do was not to get stuck on an issue. So let me give you this one example. We had one person from the mainland that wanted to come and join us in the first part of 1990. And there was very mixed emotions about this person. This person had a lot of personality power, and so it caused our Star Child family to really have to deal with the issue of our own feelings. So what we did and what we do still to this day is we look at what is the quantity of energy that I feel in relationship to the issue. What is the quantity of energy I feel in relationship to the issue? It allows you to take your mind off of the issue and act like that's what you're solving or resolving. It allows you to focus on the amount of energy this issue is bringing into your life So you can really see what's the looks as if and where are you really going. Just learning that small trait of shift off of the issue, find out what is this quantity of energy. If you have a huge amount of emotion, a huge amount of energy in your body for something, then that means you've got universal energy that's going to carry you through. So, you know, when Sitaka raised her hand and wanted to come to Kauai, that was a huge amount of energy because it needed to be. That was a huge life-transforming step. Now, if it's a small amount of energy, even though it feels uncomfortable, then you know it's just a hallway in your life. It's just a little space you're going to just walk through. It isn't going to just transform everything about your life. Learning to discern in today's world what is the quantity of energy that is present in your body will help you know how big is this for your life. Didn't you feel like that was a huge help for us, Sitaka, when we learned to really work with energy in that way versus the issues?
Oh, yes, because if you focus on the issue, you try to figure it out with your brain. And we've tried that forever, and look where we have gotten, nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually look at it from this perspective, then you have something to work with. And if it is a huge charge, there is something you can do to release that charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical. So you're not, it's just finding the charge is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to move then. So what are the ways we get it to move?
And see, I think what you're also saying is really important, Sitaka, is finding the charge and letting ourselves feel the charge.
Absolutely, yes.
See, you know, there's a part of our mind, if we follow our heart or if we seek to be enlightened or we seek to be conscious, then we also put some pretty huge conditions on ourselves that, well, everything should feel fine and we should have all this trust and we should be confident and I mean some pretty unrealistic expectations that undermine our humanness.
Yes.
We are humans in a spiritual experience and we're growing every day. But once your mind starts putting these conditions on you, you can become more miserable following your heart because you're never going to do it, quote, right. You're never going to do it perfect. You're never going to do it without having some kind of emotion around it. But that's the power of your movement. And so if you can give yourself permission to feel whatever you feel and know that you're safe with those feelings, and if you're really committed to listen to your heart, it's the strongest, most powerful force in the universe. And then you're backed up by the universe. So that even when something is saying you've got to change your whole entire life and the screen is blank and you don't have a clue, that's the most creative time. As an artist, you can sure tell us about that, can't you, Sitaka, with a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Then give us some thoughts about how you actually create, because this is what happens in our life.
Well, many people get stopped by a blank canvas or a blank piece of paper, blank
uh-huh.
anything. And what I found is just put something on it.
Uh-huh.
Just splash a broad stroke of color and then really be with that stroke of color and find out what it's revealing to you.
Uh-huh.
So you begin. You just have to take that first step, and then it starts to unfold.
So when we hear our heart's call and we raise our hand,
yeah,
and we say yes,
uh-huh.
then the next piece is take one step of action.
Yes.
Just do something. So actually raising your hand was part of the action.
For me it was, yes.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we just take one step of action, then it literally, because you know that I'm not an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, with words.
Right.
With heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add on the blank canvas, if you just put something on there then does that just kind of open the doorway for any other creativity that would like to follow that first splash of color? Does it then seem to come out easier?
Yes, because once you, it's like opening a door.
Uh-huh.
You can't walk into a room until you've opened the door.
Right.
So it makes it available for the next expression.
But you really don't know what that expression's going to be then.
Not at all. It's
uh-huh.
not pre-planned. It's a joy to watch it unfold, and there's sometimes frustration, and you say, oh, what did I put that color on there for?
Uh-huh.
Or that configuration or whatever, and you want to erase it, but instead of erasing it, you just keep working with it. You keep working with it until it becomes something that has vitality and life for you.
Uh-huh. So it's really, it isn't any different then, is it, Sitaka, when this big blank canvas comes up, when we start listening to our heart and our mind? It's only our cognitive conscious mind that doesn't have a clue what this big blank canvas. Our heart knows.
Yes, exactly.
But if our conscious mind will take one step of action, then it makes that connection with our heart that we're really sincere. And then the heart can keep moving our steps of action and our choices and our creativity. Just like the painting then, can't it?
Yes. And I think it's true with whatever modality you're using. For instance, this radio show.
Uh-huh.
We had to sign up and we opened the door. We got the station turned on and we went. And
right.
Look what's happening.
It's right.
Just lovely.
Right, because we sure didn't have a written script or...
No.
Right, right. Well, the thing that I'm so aware of, and this is why I'm so happy that we could have this conversation together and share it with you, our audience, because this is one of the main things that I'm finding in today's world that's changing so much. And our cognitive mind and our belief systems and our choices just cannot cover all of the spaces. And when that occurs, then it can set in motion our fear and our fear of movement or our fear of choice for fear we might do something wrong. But the thing I love about what you're saying about painting, Sitaka, is if you put the wrong color there, you just incorporate it and keep creating around that color or that design rather than trying to then take it out.
Exactly. It's a part of life. It's
mm-hmm.
just there's always something that's unexpected that comes in, and you just go ahead and see what it is.
Uh-huh.
See what it really is, not the negative.
Uh-huh.
And then... From that positive printout of it, then you can expand.
Uh-huh.
It causes an expansion and a flow.
Uh-huh. Now, I want to take just a moment here to just remind anyone who's just might have tuned in a little bit late to Global Family Live. I'm your host, Kay Snow Davis, and my very, very special guest is Sitaka Suzanne Franzen. And we are live from the island of Kauai right into your space tonight. We're delighted to be together, and we're delighted that you could participate with us. And you can call in if you would like to and let us know if you've got questions or thoughts. Remember, the U.S. number is 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-815-0756, or anywhere else in the world, a direct line to BBS Radio, 530-876-3222. Now, one of the things that I would like us to focus on also, Sitaka, is in our life, having the courage, when we listen to our heart, having the courage to speak up, raise our hand, make that phone call, whatever we have to do. Now, when you raised your hand, then could you just tell us a little bit about what happened inside of you then in the next hour, the next few days, when you realized what had happened and what this meant for you? What happened inside of you?
Oh, my God. Well, the first thing actually that happened was I went blank. It was like such a huge commitment, and I had done it so spontaneously, and it was like, oh, my God, what have I done now?
So you really did make a blank canvas then, didn't you?
I did. So I wiped everything clean of my prior lifestyle, everything, and was ready at that moment. So it felt that way to me, like, oh, my God, there's nothing. So, but then I had to turn and look at it from another perspective. So when I did that, then I was able to start the canvas being painted, essentially, since we're using that metaphor. But there was then that initial joy was so great that it dissipated a great deal. But I knew it was still there and it was still valid. The only reason it dissipated was because I had to focus on so many details to get ready to leave. And that part was rather difficult for me. But it was okay because I had that initial blast of energy that was so powerful that said, yes, this is what... this is what you've always waited for. This is what all your artwork has been focused on, actually. That you're coming to a place of much greater fulfillment and greater expansion, and you just got to keep going, no matter what.
Now, I want to remind the audience that from my Point of Power book and the model that we use with Point of Power, where we use roots and trunk and branch and leaves as the four parts of our natural creativity. So just go with me for a moment here, folks, and shiitake is an incredible leaf. Now look at what happens when the wind comes through the trees. Who moves first? It's always the leaves. So the leaf part of us is the part that is most open and receptive to creativity. And the more that that is your natural modality as a leaf, then so for shiitake to respond from her heart and to raise her hand and say yes was her connection with her greater vision, from her heart to her greater vision. She responded to what was within her. Kauai was an opportunity, but she responded to what was in her. Okay, now, let's drop down in the tree here. She had to start translating. How was she actually going to do this? She just responded to her heart. And now, she had to start thinking about translating that into action. That's the branch part. It has to have some kind of order. Now, let's drop one section more and go to the trunk. The trunk is the details. The everyday, where are the boxes and what kind of wrapping and what's she going to do with the art studio, and that's the trunk part. Now the root part is where you just have to be still. You have to rest. You just have to let it all go and take a break. So in this process, she went from that very natural place where her creativity moves so freely and easily, and she took herself through the whole tree, right down to the roots, to be able to manage such an incredible endeavor. So this is what's true for all of us. We all have the ability to listen to our vision, and then to take steps of action to translate that vision into a usable way of changing our life. And then someplace, somewhere, if we're going to make changes, it's going to require following through with some details. The key to all of this is we must go back to our roots. We must regenerate ourselves. We must have balance. We must strengthen ourselves. Now, when you are making this big move, Sitaka, and having to handle so much, what did you do to support your root self so that you could stay balanced and stay healthy?
Well, I was going to go a little different than that with this, but I got help. I enrolled everybody to help, and that worked wonderfully for me because I have such incredible people around me always,
uh-huh.
no matter where I go or what I do.
Uh-huh.
And so that was very important. Get me back to that first the question exactly as you said it.
Well, that's an excellent, excellent point. And now, can you fill us in on what you were thinking also?
What I was thinking?
Did we lose it?
The thinking part, not liking to do detail at all.
Right.
And having to focus in that direction and make lists so that I could see, because I'm a visual person, that exactly what needed to be done and then plan what order it had to be done in and who I could get to help with what. So that was very important. The part about being able to get some rest in the whole thing, well, my medium is clay. And so to put my hands in the dirt, that was a big way that I could rest. And I didn't have to be making anything that was going to be saved even. It just was get my hands in the clay. And that was a regenerative thing for me. But I don't know. Everybody's going to be very unique in how they
do that.
Exactly. But the point is that don't cut it out of the program.
Right. That it's so essential. And I think that's the main thing I want everybody to know here, whether you're naturally a leaf where it's so much easier for you to be free-floating and creative and less constricted, and that's what empowers you, or whether you're a translator, that you can take an idea and a project and actually start putting it into detail and form, or whether you really want concretized structure to help guide you through your life, all parts of the tree are dependent upon the roots. So no matter what form of life transformation is coming forward for you, whether it's as big as what Sitaka went through with her following her heart, or whether it's small like walking through a hallway, just remember, your balance is dependent upon regenerating yourself, whether that's taking deep breaths, drinking water, getting out walking on the earth. It might be washing dishes. You know, I have one lady in L.A. I love, and she said she just loves to sweep.
Mm-hmm.
If she can just sweep, that it will just... So it can be very simple, but please, people, please remember... It is vital. The strength of the tree is based on the power of the roots. And during this time of incredible change that we're all going through right now, and especially when we're being rained upon by terrorism thoughts and fear-based injunctions, please know that your balance is not out there. And your heart and your strength and your courage is universally sustained 24/7. And the key to your health and your wellness in times of great change, whether it's personal for you or collective, you must have balance for you. And just as Sitaka was saying, that is so important. Each person's going to do it differently. Now, I can tell you one of my favorite things, a couple of favorite things, is if I just absolutely want to go pretty mindless, I can clean the house. I have cleaned the house so much, I can do it in just practically eyes blindfolded and just go through. But it's incredibly soothing. It's just incredibly comforting for me because it's so familiar. And the other thing about it, I see that I've done something. There's an accomplishment there. Now, the other part for me with the roots is if I'm really, really stressed because I have a lot of fire in my planets and astrology, then I need movement sometimes to clear my body, clear my head. So going dancing or going walking on the earth and just let my body move and be with the earth. So these are regenerative for me, and I want you to really think about it while we're on the topic here. What regenerates you? What lets you just feel that space in your body where you go, oh. You can take that big sigh. You can let your shoulders drop. You can loosen your jaw. Take that tension out of your neck. What do you do that allows you to have that? Because in today's world, where stress is fed to us for Cheerios for breakfast, you've got to consciously monitor the temple you live in. Otherwise, you're going to be controlled by the conditions of society that will generate dis-ease and disharmony and weaken your immune system. So knowing about your roots is incredibly important. Now, along with that, I would like Chitaka, would you fill us in a little bit on the oneness blessing? Because I feel like that is so regenerative on so many levels. Could you share with us some of the ways that people could use that? Can they use that if it's not facilitated? Tell us about oneness blessing.
Well, here was another big yes in my life. When I first received a oneness blessing, I fell in love with life on a degree that I had not experienced before.
Uh-huh.
And the blessing giver, my friend Miriam, who gave it to me, afterwards we went out to lunch and we had like an experience of being with the food, with the people, with the everything was different. It was brighter.
Uh-huh.
It was wonderful. And so then we went and bought a DVD player for her, and it was like working with the salesman was an experience like I hadn't had before.
Uh-huh.
It was lovely, and it was fun, and we laughed, and it was smooth and easy. And so I knew that it was something really important. And I started receiving those blessings once a week, and I found that the fear level that I was experiencing in my life just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And my relationship, my husband also was going, and our relationship just kept redialing and redialing until we're just so close, and it's wonderful now, much, much better than it was before, and it was good before.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I said, okay, this isn't just for me. This is something that needs to be given to other people. So I made the commitment to go to India. Now, there was no way I was going to go to India.
Uh-huh.
But I felt that yes again.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I did go, and I was trained to deliver it. Now, it does have to come from somebody who has been through the 21-day training.
Uh-huh.
And once you receive it, then there is a neurobiological shift that happens in your brain, which takes you away from the survival mode and into the open love experience, and then it rebalances your whole system with that shift.
You know, I love just what you've said, and I want to say to the audience, Now, the process that Sitaka has just talked about with the neurological balancing and shift, you can, if you want to, study this and read about this, which is in Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, Biology of Belief. He describes exactly how the cell membrane responds to these kind of stimuli. So it's very, very exciting when quantum science, quantum physics, and the new science, and what we call spirituality or universal, the unified field, is now coming together and recognizing everything is energy. And the focus of the energy makes such a difference. Now, from this morning, Sitaka provided this wonderful oneness blessing for me. So in describing how do you receive this when you're in presence of a facilitator, is it's merely being present in your own body, sitting there and letting your facilitator put their hands on you.
On your head.
On my head, and just letting that energy flow through your body. So you as the receiver are literally breathing in this universal energy that your facilitator is consciously allowing to come into them and move through to you. So it's a full breath of creative energy. Now, didn't you mention also that this work can be done at a distance if people make a request?
Yes, it can be done as a phone diksha or blessing, phone blessing, or it can be done just as an intention. So I've given many just intention blessings to people in other parts of the world. Now, anyone who would like to receive that kind of blessing can go on the website, which is oneness movement.org. That's oneness movement.org, and you can find a facilitator there, and hopefully you'll be able to find somebody who's close to you and maybe has evening gatherings or will do a private session with you. There's really no charge for this. It's just truly a blessing.
Now, Sitaka, since people have had the opportunity to spend this almost an hour with you, and if they would feel safer and better in contacting you, how would they do that in order to have long-distance support with this oneness blessing?
Well, I can give my phone number.
Okay.
And it is 808-332-5506. And if you leave your name and number, I can give you a call back. That is the best way. And then we can set up a time to have a phone diksha or phone blessing. And or you can give me some details of what's happening and what you need, and I can give you an intention diksha at any time.
And I want to just mentioned to my audience that recently my older son just went through, really, it was one of those life-transforming experiences probably about 6 weeks ago. And so, of course, I know the power of prayer. As a mother, a grandmother, and a foster mother, it's been used many times, and it's always worked. So that was one of my first things is, okay, let's get prayer going here for my son. And that was one of the things I requested, was for Sitaka to do the oneness blessing through intention. And I do want to report that as a result of his choices and the power of prayer and his family loving and supporting him, he's walking into a brand new life, and one that he's been seeking for a long time, and the doors just weren't quite ready to open. So this is a time of transformation on the planet right now, where there are many doors that are ready to open, please don't hesitate to ask for support. It doesn't mean you're weak, and it doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing, and it doesn't mean you're dependent on someone else. It just simply means that together we're better. Remember, this is Global Family Live. That means alive, working together to make this home planet a safe place for all of us, a place where it really, really is a place that we can trust, that we can follow our heart. And not only will we not be hurt, we will be safe, and our children will be safe, and we will all be stronger as a result of having the courage to follow our heart. So, needless to say, Sitaka, I am eternally grateful for your courage and your creativity and your commitment to life. You are a constant inspiration and a joy in my life, and I just thank you so much for being on Global Family Live tonight with us.
Oh, thank you, Kay, and thank all of the listeners for being with us, too. And I know that this energy is just going out and out in waves.
Yes, I feel that.
For saying yes to
you. Yes, just say yes. Raise your hand, dial the phone, whatever it takes.
Yay.
Yes. Now, I want to also remind you that you can go on my website, and that's www.globalfamilyeducation.com, and you can click on the products, and there's information there about my books, my CDs. And if you want to preview the material before you do that, there's a free teleconference for you. It's 212-990-7370. So I'm embracing you and supporting you and loving you in your courage. Just say yes. Say yes to your heart, because there is no stronger guide on the planet. There's no purer purpose. There's nothing to match the truth and the power that lives in your heart. When you say yes, the universe rushes in to respond to your yes. So thank you for this evening. And I want to say to you, Anuai, Ko'alehele, blessings on your journey. Ahui ho, until we meet again.